Chase, yeah. Willie D. Mays, 1025-1063. The Game, we're live from the Hillside Medical Game Studios, and we're streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. Our video streaming is brought to you by the law offices of Amanda J. Gentry. Joining us now, ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck, brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue, the liquor store redefined. Now, Tim, we've been going back and forth all day trying to diagnose exactly what is plaguing this Titans offense. Because you look at the defense, you could rotate in and out. You could have an injured Jeffrey Simmons, an injured Bud Dupree, and you bring in practice squad players, and they can still get six sacks against the Denver Broncos. You have the offense at full strength, and they're only able to put up, 17 points against the Broncos. So we have looked at it. Is it a general manager problem? Is it a personnel problem? Is it a play calling problem? What exactly, in your opinion, is plaguing this Titans offense, and how can they turn things around?
All right, so Tim, Caroline is a young all-star. That is an awesome question. She just hit you with a sledgehammer there. But since you are a fantasy guru, we have to ask this question up top. Caroline just revealed to us during this break. She has four fantasy teams going right now.
I do.
Does she have a problem? Is that a little too much?
That, I think that's a sickness is what they call that.
In a good way, though.
Truly
in a good
is. Way. As if I don't talk enough about football, I may as well just do it on my off time as well. And I think I just opened my fantasy app for the first time in a few weeks, and I did win this past week.
Hey, all right.
My leagues.
You went 4-0?
We went 2-for-2 this past week, so woohoo.
I do think that there's a difference. Like filling out a bunch of March Madness brackets, like that's kind of like, okay, like this is very different. This is like, no, I just have like a full-fledged addiction to football.
And it's not even that. It's more so I can't say no.
Players, yeah.
It's more so I got the invites and just couldn't say no.
Like in August, you're like, okay, wait, why don't you be in our fantasy league?
It's like, okay, yeah, sure.
Yeah, I'm new here. Yeah, come on.
Yeah, no, for sure. I do believe I do have a sickness, though. That is fair.
How many times is your quarterback playing against your quarterback on another team? Like it's for you in two leagues and against you in the other two.
And I wish I could keep it straight. I wish I could give you the answer to that. I have no way to keep it straight in my mind. But again, Tim Hasselbeck is with us. But Tim, what's going on with this Titans offense?
Yeah. Well, I think the difference with offense and defense is that, you can have a defender out and somebody comes into the lineup and timing isn't disrupted and chemistry, maybe isn't impacted as much. And so I do think that can happen. So your quarterback is out of the lineup for a little bit. I do think that, that's a challenge that hurts things. And I also think that from a personnel perspective, the receiver room and group, it's not, the Miami Dolphins or the Philadelphia Eagles, especially, when you look at early in the year. And so, I think that those are the types of things that can, can happen. And for a play caller, that makes it a challenge. And so, to kind of answer your question, the personnel, I think personnel is a part of it. Does, guys in and out of lineup impact it? Of course, it absolutely impacts it. Does, the play calling and play design, is that part of it as well? For sure. And so I think that, the good news for the Titans is that, they've been able to rely on other aspects of their team other than, being able to create big plays. They've been able to, kind of survive and do things without their starting quarterback, which most teams, aren't able to do. I think the game that Nick Westbrook-Ikhina had last week, all right, maybe that's something to build on because, I think that everyone would agree that, just plays in the passing game from wide receivers, whether it's because Ryan's been out or not on the same page or, lack of talent, that clearly has been something that is an outlier when you compare the Titans to other, quote-unquote top teams in the NFL.
Now, Tim, explain to us, because, you were in the quarterback rooms. You understand that. I can only talk about it from the standpoint of, hey, listen, when we're in meetings together as an offense, I know what the coordinator's saying. I can see from a play standpoint of what the quarterback may be seeing. But when y'all get in y'all the individual rooms, it's broken down even more because now you have your quarterback's coach that is sort of going through everything in regards to the offense. And how do you, as a quarterback, identify who your playmakers are? And then when identify them, you and the offensive coordinator or quarterback coach, all three of y'all, work to try to get that playmaker the ball. Does it help if the playmaker comes in the room and kind of sort of talks to the quarterback and say, hey, listen, what do you like for me to do, and sort of get that bond built?
See, here's what I think, D-Mace, and I believe this to be the case. Like, you know, part of what happens is, like, you know, sometimes, like, prior to a season, you may look at somebody and be like, okay, hey, like, we're going to count on this guy. But, like, that guy has to deliver. You know, so I talked to a college offensive coordinator about this. This is something that this is a stat that they chart and they use a lot. They call it target to completion. So essentially, anytime the quarterback is throwing in that guy's direction, do we complete it? And so basically the way this guy does it, he's like, look, so, you know, we may view things a certain way, but when we see it, like, hey, we throw it to him, we complete it. Like, I'm not looking about, like, do we get a first down? Do we score touchdowns? Like, when we throw it to number, you know, 85, does he catch it? And so I think that sometimes, like, that starts to define itself, right? Like, that doesn't, you know, doesn't have to be, you know, somebody coming into the room and being like, hey, I want to be more involved or anything like that. And so typically speaking, like, the guys that are making plays, when the offensive coordinator is designing a plan, what he does is, he will design route combinations where, you know, the primary receiver, you know, the guy that they are hoping to get open is that player, right? And so, you know, that's why, like, you look at route combinations, you're like, look, that guy's just running to the flat every time. Like, it doesn't matter where they line him up, like, that dude's running into the flat. Because, like, they're trying to get somebody else, you know, down the field in the red zone or whatever it may be. And so I think that those things kind of, like, you know, happen organically. And then at that point, to what you're saying about, like, the chemistry is like, all right, hey, you know, you guys have me running, you know, an option route here. You guys have me running a post corner here. Like, what are you, why, you know, what kind of leverage are you expecting? How are you expecting me to set my angle? Like, those things then I think happen to, like, take it to another level. And so I think it's kind of one of those deals where, like, it first happens organically, and then at that point, like, well, hey, like, let's take it to 2.0 for that player.
We'll talk with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst. Now, Tim, should we expect when these guys come in, these rookies come in, say, for instance, let's just talk about the wide receivers or the tight ends. Because of the way the college game has gone, and we've seen a lot of the college game as far as a passing standpoint sort of morph into the NFL game, and it's wide open and rules being changed and everything else, I feel that it's a much easier for these young men to come out of college and excel a little bit faster in the NFL than it was 15, 20 years ago, because the game is just a lot different and it's geared more toward throwing the ball and getting these guys the football. Or am I wrong to think that a Treylon Burks should be a little bit further along than he is? I think he is, but I'm just saying he should be a little bit further along, or Chigakonko should be a little bit further along, because, you know, the college game and the NFL game has morphed so much that you see all these guys coming in and they're making plays week in and week out.
I do think that it's different for sure. I mean, whether it's been 7-on-7 leagues, whether it's been all these offenses that, like, you know, the run games have changed in the sense of, like, look, throwing bubbles to, you know, receivers, you know, is now, you know, part of the run game. And so just the experience, you know, with that stuff. You know, Okonkwo is a decent example of that. I had Maryland in a bowl game last year, and so, you know, I'd watched them some. Like, so, you know, part of, you know, just like how a guy gets used, the opportunities to catch the ball in games, it is different than what you experience. But I would also say this, like, you have to also then go to an offense that's going to use you properly. Like, I didn't realize this. I don't know if you guys saw this, but Kadarius Toney catches a touchdown for the Chiefs. You know, he's been there 2 weeks, I think. That was his first, that was his first receiving touchdown of his career. Like, that's crazy to me.
You'd have thought he scored about 50 the way he hot-dogged it into the end zone there and just, you know, hopped in there on one foot.
Yeah, yeah. You would think he was comfortable, right?
Yeah.
So I do think that you still have to go somewhere where it's a fit and be used correctly and all that stuff. But I really think, like, D-Mace, to your point about Burks, like, I think he's further along than most guys. I think he's got a great feel. I think he's got a natural feel for the game. I do think his issue has been health.
Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, will continue this conversation with him coming up next. The Titans have a quick turnaround heading to Green Bay on Thursday. What can we expect from that matchup? We'll get into that with Tim coming up next. Plus your thoughts, 615-737-1025, 1025-1063, The Game. Chase Willie, teammates, 1025-1063, The Game. Tim Hasselbeck joins us now. Tim, I think a lot of Titans fans are worried. Now, the Titans are turning around, quick turnaround after Sunday's game, heading to Green Bay to take on the Packers on Thursday. I think a few Titans fans are a little bit nervous that Green Bay may have just figured something out. So, in your opinion, did Aaron Rodgers find his new go-to guy in Christian Watson, or is that more so of a flash in the pan?
I think it's probably more flash in the pan than finding, like, a true, you know, number one, reliable, hey, like, count on him type of guy. I do think Watson, you know, they're expecting big things out of him. I still think they're expecting bigger things out of Lazard. They're going to end up getting, you know, Randall Cobb back here soon. We'll see what his status is. So, look, it was one of the few times this year that we've seen, you know, the Packers be able to rely on and a wide receiver, you know, coming through for them. So, can they build off of it? I'm sure that that's what they're hoping they can do. But to me, look, they have big, fast wide receivers. They just are guys that have not done a great job of coming down with the ball this year. Watson did last week.
So, Tim, as you look, the body language of Aaron Rodgers has been so shaky the last few weeks. But the other thing I noticed about that game when they were behind is they ran the ball. He only threw the ball 20 times in the whole game. You would think for a team that's behind, any kind of comeback is going to involve him just slinging it all over the field, but they really did it with the running game.
They really did. I mean, Aaron Jones had 24 carries. A.J. Dillon had 13. And, you know, you mentioned the 20 attempts. I mean, we were pretty, if I'm remembering correctly, I think that we were, you know, well into the fourth quarter, and he had like 11 or 12 attempts. So, you know, some of those attempts ended up coming, you know, relatively late in the football game. So the best thing they've done all year has been run the ball. They have two very talented backs. There was a stretch where they were playing both backs at the same time. I guess they still are, but they were playing both backs on the field at the same time because I think they felt like it was their, you know, way to get their best 11 players on the field. So, yeah, that still ends up being the key. And that, I think your assessment of, like, Aaron's body language, you know, as the offense, you know, has struggled is accurate as well. I mean, I don't think that he has helped because of, you know, just kind of how he's expressed his frustration with a team that, you know, is, you know, trying to get more out of younger receivers.
So, Tim, we saw the Cooper Kupp high ankle sprain. It's going to be out for a while. Every time I've watched the Rams this year, they've thrown him the ball a ton of times. So now you take that away, they're sitting there at 3-6, really struggling. Are they done?
I feel like they're done. I guess they're not out of it because of what that division looks like. I mean, Seattle's 6-4, and there's still a lot of season left. But, like, I don't see the, you know, I think at some point, like we're all, when we watch it, you know, X's and O's or otherwise, we're just looking for, like the signs of life, like the signs of encouragement. And I don't know where you see it with the Rams. Like, okay, best receiver is now out. Quarterback has struggled, and we know that he's kind of dealing with shoulder and elbow issues. Running back was, you know, a healthy scratch at one point in the year because he was unhappy. I mean, I just think that, you know, I don't see the signs of it where, like, at least if you're looking at San Francisco, you go, all right, well, do you see the building blocks for it? Like, yeah, they're pretty good at running the football. Like, Jimmy Garoppolo, like, we know what he's going to do. Defensively, man, they play hard. Like, I still think you see, you know, certain building blocks of it. So, yeah, I do think the Rams are done.
And then I wanted to ask you, too, about last night's end to the game. Like, we know the Eagles, a lot had to happen for the Eagles to lose that game. They turned it over a bunch of times. They got a couple of unfortunate calls. But the one at the end of the game really bugged me. I was really surprised. I thought Troy Aikman showed restraint. You know he was churning inside. I think he's probably been told, hey, ease up a little bit, because he had some really outspoken comments about the roughing the passer. But this was a totally different category. You've got a guy that basically took a knee last second. The guy clearly slides and pulls up. He could have hit him 10 times harder than he did. I just don't understand why there isn't a little bit of leeway, a little common sense, a little slack. It's like the ref is programmed. I have to throw this flag right here. It just, to me, it was a horrendous way to end the game.
I think the biggest challenge with those calls is forcible contact. Like, that's the phrase that I think is the biggest challenge. Like, we see times, like, we see it happen all the time where, like, you know, play clock's running down, the ball is kind of like snapped at zero, but somebody on the sideline, you know, took a timeout, and so, you know, the left tackle doesn't move, and here comes the defensive end sprinting up the field, and, you know, the play's dead, and he kind of like runs into the quarterback and holds him up, or, you know, things like that, right? Like, there are times where it's like, you know, you're allowed to touch the guy. Right, so like he declares himself down, right? He takes a knee, you know, back, you know, behind the line of scrimmage. You know, Brandon Graham is chasing him. Brandon Graham tries to hold up clearly, and like, was that forcible contact? Like, I think that ends up being the conversation, right? It's no different than when the guy's hand is up because he's trying to bat a pass, and then it comes down and touches the guy's face mask. Is that a hit to the head and neck area? Like, well, I mean, it is. Is it forcible contact? Well, like, now it's a judgment call on what is forcible contact, and it's not something that can be reviewed. So I think that really is the problem, and I think that came into play, right? Like, so I think there were a few. Willie, to your point, though, like the offensive pass interference, that happened a little earlier. That's not offensive PI. Like, that's just, and Aikman, you know, disagreed,
yeah,
you know,
he did.
At the con. So, with that one as well. But, yeah, look, I call a college game every weekend as well. Like, officiating is hard, so I don't want to minimize how hard it is. But it's also, you know, it's also frustrating to watch when you see blatant stuff, the face mask that led to the fumble. You know, in the game last night. It's hard to see that and feel like, you know, you can feel good about the call.
Now, Tim, before we get you out of here quickly, did we just overhype the season in regards to the teams that made these huge moves in the offseason? Did we sort of put the cart before the horse? Because the way it's looking now, It's almost boiling down to the same old teams that we've seen the last, what, 4 or 5 years. The Kansas City Chiefs, the Buffalo Bills, the Tennessee Titans, and maybe the Baltimore Ravens. And I know Miami's having a really good season. And then you look at an AFC and NFC, you know, you got Philly that's doing well, Minnesota. Green Bay's not out of it. But then you look at Tampa, and Tampa's right back in it. Why? Because of the quarterback. So, when these moves were made, did we sort of think too much of it, and we should have just allowed it to play out?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think you probably see it both ways, right? Like, look, the A.J. Brown move, which was like, oh, okay, hey, this is big, like, it worked. So I think, like, paying attention to that move, or for Philadelphia, that is, you know, paying attention to that move is fair. You know, the moves with Tyreek Hill, like, that there's no question that helped the Dolphins, right? Like, we agree on that. Now, I think, like, slamming the door, and maybe this is what you're asking, D-Mace, like, slamming the door on, like, hey, Mahomes lost his guy. Hey, Gronk's gone. You know, Brady lost his guy. Like, like to me, you know, I think that, you know, that, yeah, I think those guys have overcome it. But I, on the other side of that exact coin would be Green Bay, who doesn't feel like they are in it. So I think that's one of the things that ends up being so great about this is like, look, we thought the Raiders were going to be good. They're not. But I did not think that the Packers were going to struggle, and they have. Now, I thought Miami would be good. I did not think that it was going to kill Kansas City. I didn't. Look, I thought the A.J. Brown thing was going to help Philadelphia. I can't say I thought it would help them this much, but it has. And I think in some ways it's hurt the Titans almost equally as much. So, look, I thought Matt Ryan was going to help the Colts. So I do think that, like, you just don't know. I think it's one of the things about, you know, general managers can add talent, but how it works in with your whole team, you know, is hard to figure out.
Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst. Appreciate you, Tim. We'll chat with you next week.
Cool. See you guys.
All right.
As Tim Hasselbeck, brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue, the liquor store redefined. And coming up next, I want to get into what D-Mace touched on, the fact that some teams may have overachieved or grossly underachieved based off of preseason expectations. And where does that leave the Titans? We'll get into that coming up next. But first, Willie wants to tell you about Lee Company.
All right. Let us talk about Lee Company. They are a huge sponsor of our Predators radio coverage, which begins tonight at 6 o'clock with Max Hurst. We'll have... of course, Pete Weber on the call tonight, and Lee Company will be a big part of it. We thank them for their sponsorship. And when you come to Smashville tonight, you'll see the Lee Company display all around Bridgestone Arena. They do a lot of great things for you. I always tell you, make sure at this time of the year your heating unit is running properly. If it's not, call Lee Company at 615-567-1000. But also, while you call that number, get the information on the home maintenance plan, because you'll get that year-round coverage, not only on your heating, but your cooling in the summer, your plumbing, your electric systems. They've got it all for you. It's the home maintenance plan from Lee Company. Small monthly fee. In exchange for that, you get the free annual checkups and discounts when repairs need to be made over time. Give them a call, 615-567-1000 for Lee Company. The online, leecompany.com. Lee Company, proud sponsor, Nashville Predators.
I think the biggest challenge with those calls is forcible contact. Mm. Like, that's the phrase that I think is the biggest challenge. Like, we see times, it happen all the time where, like, you know, play clock's running down, the ball is kind of like snapped at zero, but somebody on the sideline, you know, took a timeout, and so, you know, the left tackle doesn't move, and here comes the defensive end sprinting up the field, and, you know, the play's dead, and he kind of like, runs into the quarterback and holds him up, or, you know, things like that, right? Like, there are times where it's like, you know, you're allowed to touch the guy, right? So, like, he declares himself down, right? He takes a knee, you know, back, you know, behind the line of scrimmage. You know, Brandon Graham is chasing him. Brandon Graham tries to hold up, clearly. And, like, was that forcible contact? Like, I think that ends up being the conversation, right? It's no different than when the guy's hand is up because he's trying to bat a pass, and then it comes down and touches the guy's face mask. Is that a hit to the head and neck area? Like, well, I mean, it is. Is it forcible contact? Well, like, now it's a judgment call on what is forcible contact, and it's not something that can be reviewed. So I think that really is the problem.
There you go. That was Tim Hasselbeck. We had him on last segment breaking down some of the inconsistencies with the play calls in the NFL, not just this past week, but really this entire season, and not just in the NFL, but in football as a whole. But hey, it's Preds Game Day brought to you by Social Furniture. Social Furniture offers same-day delivery and installation. Shop today during their Black Friday sale for a limited time and take an extra 20% off. Shop local, shop social. But what I wanted to get in here was D-Mace's final question for Tim Hasselbeck, and that was, hey, looking around the league, there have been several unimpressive teams. I look at the Raiders, a team that I thought really was going to run the table in the AFC West, and
you
obviously
and a lot of other people.
Has not. And that's the biggest anomaly to me, is that you upgrade at wide receiver with one of the best receivers in the country in Devontae Adams. You've got Darren Waller, who I think is probably a top three, top five tight end in the league. Mm-hmm. You've got Josh Jacobs, you know, a solid running back. And you've got Derek Carr, who I don't think is an elite quarterback, but not a bad quarterback by any means. I feel like he kind of lives in that same quarterback tier as Ryan Tannehill. So why are the Raiders so bad? The Rams, the reigning Super Bowl champions, they have definitely fallen short of expectations. So it's so interesting to me to see how many teams have underperformed so far this season and how that really can benefit the Titans. The Titans offense has struggled, but here they are at 6-3, running the table in the division. They're going to be in the top half of the AFC at what I can predict by the end of the season. So can the Titans really benefit from a pretty weak NFL so far this season? And how far can that truly carry them?
I think they're benefiting, at least the last 2 years, I think they've benefited from a bad AFC South. But the Titans have had solid to good, really good teams. I think this year's team is solid, and they're only solid, I believe, because of the way the defense is playing and the way the running game's going.
Defense, Derrick Henry, Mike Vrabel.
Exactly. So that's what makes them a solid to good team, a team that you don't want to play heading into the playoffs.
Right.
But the NFL as a whole, I think when you start to dissect it and what we believe would happen, we thought the AFC West would be the toughest division there was. And you look at it, Kansas City, again, is atop that division. Mm-hmm. Two games in front of the Chargers, and I think they've already played the Chargers once, I believe. Denver sitting at 3-6. The way they played, they're nowhere near getting back into the playoff.
Oh, absolutely not. But also, who would have thought that?
Exactly.
I didn't expect the Broncos to be some sort of Super Bowl contender, but I definitely thought Russell Wilson would at least bring them to the next level.
I thought they would be a playoff team. Hell, Willie, I picked the Raiders to win that division.
I know.
And look at them. They're at the bottom of that division.
Yeah.
And they have all that talent.
I can tell you, though, every year when we do these predictions, I write them down. They're laughable halfway through because you're going to get a few right. You're like, look how smart I was here.
Right.
And then you look over here. What was I thinking with that pick over there? Because you always have to expect the unexpected.
Green Bay, another one too.
Green Bay. We had this argument in the preseason. Could you possibly get yourself to pick anybody but Green Bay or Tampa Bay in those two divisions? Just the way they looked out. And I just – nobody would have seen.
I picked Minnesota.
And that is one of the ones you got right. So you got –
that's a pretty impressive.
You were way wrong on the Raiders, but you were way right on the Vikings. And that was a gutsy pick. I didn't have the guts to pick anybody but Green
Bay. I don't think a lot of people picked Minnesota to be at this position that they're in now.
Sure.
Because that's of what has happened in previous years with Kirk Cousins.
That's why it's so crazy when the schedule comes out in the spring or the summer to sit there and go, well, that's going to be a win there. And this one,
it's
going to be a tough game over here.
Right.
Because you just don't know. So many things happen. Like you're saying, the Rams might be done. They might just spiral completely out of control. Without Cooper Kupp,
and
how
if
are they
Cooper Kupp's out for the season,
are they going to do that?
But this is why I believe teams like the Titans, teams that have been consistently there the last 4 years, let's say 4 or 5 years. Let's just say five since Vrabel's been there.
Right.
Whether it be the Titans, the Kansas City Chiefs, and I'm just saying AFC, the Baltimore Ravens,
The Bills.
So four teams. And I look at my Bengals, but Bengals are different to me. They're starting to – it's like the Bengals are still the new kid on the block.
Right.
Nouveau riche.
They're still trying to figure things out. They got a lot of talent.
Right.
The group is great, but they still – they're sticking their foot in to the big boys, and then they're kind of pulling it back a little bit. It's kind of like this. I'm playing this game. Yes, we're elite. No, we're not. Yes, we are. No, we're not. But you look at the four teams, Buffalo, Kansas City, the Titans, and say Baltimore. Those four teams. The things that they all have in common is they got a solid coach, and the team, the core guys, have been together a long time. You look at the Titans defense, those core guys have been together at least 3 years, 2 to 3 years. On offense, you have Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill. That is the core of their – and Ben Jones, that's the core of their offense. They've been there. So they understand, even in tight games, we know how to win these tight games. Even if our offense, our passing offense at times is inept, we know how to win these games. Kansas City Chiefs, yes, Tyreek Hill's gone. Yes, this guy is hurt. But we've been together for a long time, this group. So we understand how to win those tough games. Buffalo, our quarterback and our receiver have been together. Our tight end have been together for a while. Our defense, they've been together for a while. So we understand and know how to win these tough games. These younger teams, Oakland, who else you want to throw in there? The Raiders.
Broncos.
Well, Raiders, Oakland Broncos. another young team where they just started adding this – these weapons in.
Mm-hmm. And even it's the Colts being inconsistent at quarterback.
Even that, it's going to take them a minute to get going. Jaguars
perfect
are the same
example,
thing. Perfect
yeah.
example. All that talent, but they hadn't been together a long time. All that talent on the Raiders, but they hadn't been together. I don't care if Carr and Adams played together in high school, I mean college. They didn't play a snap together in the NFL. College and the NFL is totally different when you're trying to build that rapport. Mm-hmm. So they're still trying to build that rapport. That's why when Vrabel said it's not about, what did he say? It's about the guys and not the scheme.
The players, not the plays.
Yeah, the players, mm-hmm. not the plays.
Yeah.
It's both. Because Kansas City lost one of the best, probably the best receiver in the National Football League right now. And they're still going. Why? Because they do have some talent, but they have a hell of a play caller that he calls plays and he designs. And I know he has Patrick Mahomes in the backfield. I get that. Underneath center, I understand that. But sometimes that play caller has to step in when they don't have the talent. And that's why I go back to Downing. Is he a play caller in this league? Yes, but he's not the play caller for this team. Because this team, he's not. I don't think he's ready yet to take a offense that doesn't have as many playmakers and make them into a really good to good offense or good to really good offense. He just doesn't have enough experience, I don't think. You put another offensive coordinator in here, he might do better. Why? Because he's been in these situations before. Experience means a lot. You can't tell me that. You say a player needs experience, but a head coach or offensive coordinator doesn't need experience. Yes, they do need experience, okay? Especially when your talent is not at the level you expect it to be.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get into your thoughts, your calls, your texts on this. Plus, how much can the Titans do themselves, and how much can the Titans be carried by, honestly, a pretty weak division and a weak conference? We'll get into that coming up next. But, hey, it is Predators Game Day brought to you by Social Furniture. Shop local. Shop social. Social Furniture. Why go anywhere else? And don't forget to shop today during their Black Friday sale for a limited time and take an extra 20% off. Picks today. Pick three football underdog teams that you think will win this week for a chance to win great prizes. You can play now at thegamenashville.com or the 1025 The Game app. Silly Underdog Picks is presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket and Superbook Sports, voted number one sportsbook in Vegas. Download their app today.
I heard you picked a winner in your debut.
That
Chase
I did.
Yeah, was very
did.
Excited
I
about
picked
that.
The Vikings to upset the Bills, and that they did.
And it happened.
So look out, Silly Underdog Picks. Here I come. But kind of looking at the Titans and the landscape of the league as a whole, because I think that as Titans fans, or at least me, I feel like I'm kind of pulled in two different directions. That in one way, Titans are 6-3, and the Titans are going to win the division, and the Titans are going to have a fairly favorable playoff seating, at least I can expect, for the playoffs. And then I also, on the other hand, I'm looking at a Titans offense that I just don't really know how much the offense can carry this team or how far the offense can carry this team through the playoffs. But looking at the landscape of the division, of the AFC as a whole, and really as the NFL as a whole, there aren't that many teams that I look at and say, oh, wow, the Titans have no shot. I mean, the Bills, what's the health of Josh Allen?
That's a huge question. Yeah. Like, what a game changer that would be if he – even
if he's out
plays,
for the season.
And because I know he's trying to play, but right now he's clearly being affected by that. That turns them from a juggernaut into, well, hey, maybe we can beat him. And you might not have to play every game in Buffalo. They're going to be fighting to win that division because that division suddenly is really tough. There's a three-way tie. Well, the Dolphins have come on.
Yeah, the Dolphins are in the lead in that division now. Mm-hmm. If the season ends today, the Dolphins win
Dolphins
the
AFC East.
And they've got their bye, so it'll, you know, some of this will work itself. But the Bills are going to have to work to get the division.
Of course they're going to have to work. And this Titans team, yes, I do. I think in part they are benefiting from, you know, what's going on in AFC. But then I think they are sort of they're creating their own luck. Mm-hmm. And when you are – it's almost that saying, you know, don't get ready, be ready when I call on you. Well, the Titans have been able to sort of make their own luck because the guys that they have looked toward when guys have gone down – they're ready. They didn't get ready. They were ready. Vrabel and that coaching staff, and I'm only talking about from a defensive standpoint, that coaching staff has made sure those guys were ready if and when called upon. That's why the Titans have sort of, even with the landscape of this, of the AFC, they've sort of made their own luck because I'm going to coach these guys as if they are starters on the defense side of the ball. Not to say they're not doing it on the offside.
Right.
Offensive side, it's just not coming to fruition on the offensive side. On the defensive side, they're coaching them to, listen, we don't know what's going to happen, but y'all going to be ready if we do call upon you. It may be one play that we need you for. You better be ready, and we're going to make sure you're ready. So when guys go down, these guys step in, we marvel at, wow, they're doing a great job. Well, they're doing a great job because Vrabel and Boynes has those guys ready to play when called upon. And because they're ready to play in those crucial situations, they are creating their own luck. Mm-hmm. They're creating their own path to win the game. From a defensive standpoint, offense, just don't turn the ball over and we're good.
That is, I think, where you have to sort of look at the complementary part of this that Mike Vrabel is always talking about.
Right.
And that's where, when you're evaluating the offense, especially the last 3 weeks with Tannehill's situation, right? He missed two games and then clearly was battling through just, you know, he was limited. He wasn't rolling out, wasn't running a whole lot. Todd Downing knew and had faith that we're not going to have to score a ton of points to win these games. Obviously, in Arrowhead, it was maybe a little different story. But against Houston and against Denver, the two games that they won, they knew they didn't have to light up the scoreboard. So they certainly played that way.
But even
so
against Kansas City, what the defense was able to limit Kansas City's offense to do, they didn't have to score 40 points to win that game.
No, and they, you know, they were right there in that game. So I think the real question going forward for the offense is, can they get to a level in the second half of the season? Maybe they get a little luck with health, but can they get to a level where this offense – has enough to beat you in Kansas City or in Buffalo or in Miami if they have to go play again like that? Because that's going to be something that I wonder about. Who's echoing? Is that me that's doing that? No, somebody's echoing in the Zoom. But I haven't looked at them as a team that could be a threat to win it.
Mm-hmm.
But look, if Josh Allen goes down, and who knows what's around the corner, right? Mm-hmm. If you get a little bit of luck, I don't think I would have thought that the Bengals could make the run that they did.
I didn't think they were the best team in the AFC last year. And I look at the AFC where it is right now, and there's several teams that I thought were going to be contenders that are no longer contenders. The Titans currently sitting at third in the AFC. So where the AFC landscape is right now, and also, you know, the Buffalo Bills, who I thought was going to run the table. What's the future with Josh Allen? I don't know. That's a question mark. So where it is right now, combined with the way the Titans are playing right now. So the AFC being where it is, can the Titans compete for a Super Bowl by just playing really good defense and the offense not turning the football over and just scoring enough points to win games?
Well,
is that a realistic conversation that we can have?
You got to believe that you can if you're in that building. Because, look, next year Ryan Tannehill is going to be older. Derrick Henry is going to be older. That's why I was surprised at the A.J. Brown trade, because I thought they were in that window. They kind of hedged their bets. They do have some younger players. But to me, you don't get these opportunities all the time. Like from 2009 until 2016, those were some lean years where they didn't have any chance, right? They got a chance.
Well, they still have an opportunity because of the way the defense plays.
Mm-hmm. That's an elite defense.
And because of Mike Vrabel being a coach. But how far in the playoffs will they go? I don't know. They're going to have to get plays from guys that they have not gotten them from thus mm-hmm. far, whether it be Hooper, whether it be Burks, Wood, guys that were either drafted in the first round or you're paying them a lot of money. I can scream all day about Chig getting the ball, and he should get the ball. Get the ball. I can scream all day. But they drafted Chig in the, what, fourth round? Fifth round, somewhere around
third
that?
Third or
was
fourth.
Was it third or fourth? But the guys that y'all brought in as free agents, the big money guys, I should be leaning on them to make plays. Mm-hmm. And they just haven't made enough plays consistently. Traylon Burks has been out a lot. You know, Hooper hasn't figured it out.
Right.
And then, you know, Woods is just – he hadn't been able to get open. So, I don't know. From this offense, from a past standpoint, Derrick Henry is going to have to – what I'm realizing and understanding now moving forward, and Willie, you said this offense is going to have to change. No, it's not going to have to change. Derrick Henry is going to have to run more.
Well, I didn't say change. I'm saying you got to get more out of the passing
Well,
game.
Right. Derrick Henry
you can't get more out of the passing game. That responsibility goes somewhere.
It doesn't have to be. You don't have to throw it all over the field. You know how you want to win. You want to run, but you have to be able to balance it a little bit. You have to get a little bit more.
Yeah, but you got to – there comes a point where you either say this team doesn't have the personnel, which I don't think they do from top to bottom on offense. I don't. It's plain for everybody to see. They don't have the personnel from top to bottom. And I don't think they have the right offensive coordinator for things to change. I don't. And if it does, great. But from what I've seen to now, it's an 8-9 game sample. You think after 9 games, this team is going to drastically change what they do? No.
They're not going to change what they do, but they can get more production with better players if Burks helps, if Okonkwo develops a little bit more, if he can be out there a little bit more.
But as much as I want Chig to be more involved in offense, the coordinators got to want it too. They got to want it. They got to sit down and say, moving forward, I got to get this guy the ball. And they have not done that, even though they know that's one of their playmakers.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get back into this discussion. But coming up next, we'll chat with Mitch Light of The Athletic, college football writer, because we've got some college football playoff rankings coming out tonight. What does Mitch expect to see in the rankings? But first, Willie wants to tell you about QC Kinetics.
All right, let's talk QC Kinetics. They are getting people back and healthy as quickly as possible if you've had some joint pain. And there's the traditional methods that a lot of people have used, and maybe you're still not getting the solutions that you're looking for. You may not have heard of QC Kinetics, but they can help you. They've got the advanced technology that has been available to the world-class athletes for a long time, but now they're available to you. It's called regenerative medicine. They now have 3 clinics in our listening area, Nashville, Clarksville, and in Murfreesboro. Advanced science that uses those healing properties to restore and repair the painful joint, and you'll get that pain-free movement. So if you've had arthritis or you've got a bad back, that can be addressed by QC Kinetics as well. Knees, hips, shoulders, all of that stuff. Don't let them tell you that surgery is the only method. You need that second opinion, and it's absolutely free, the consultation. So call QC Kinetics. Learn how regenerative medicine can give you your life back. 615-249-4024 for QC Kinetics. That's 615-249-4024. Nashville, Clarksville, Murfreesboro. 615-249-4024.